J.K. Dobbins, who unfortunately is done for the season, a torn ACL, has got some LCL damage as well. I think this is a significant injury. I don't even know if he's going to be ready to go week one of next year, too. So what do the Ravens do? I know they brought in Todd Gurley earlier, you know, in the offseason. It didn't work out. Do they revisit that? Do they bring in Duke Johnson? Do they acquire a vet somewhere? The report out of Houston today that the Texans are going to listen to offers on Brandon Cooks and David Johnson. Heck, Baltimore could probably use both of those guys considering what has happened with the Ravens. And this just happens in sports, doesn't it? At the start of before a season starts, it seems like the injuries just pile up on certain teams. And this is what's happened here. Rashad Bateman, we had Marquise Brown, Miles Boykin, Mark Andrews hasn't been 100%. Now you got J.K. Dobbins. Like, are you kidding me? That's like five pieces of this offense. It's devastating for a Ravens fan. It's devastating for J.K. Dobbins and company. So we'll see how this all plays out. But you got Taysom Williams on the team, an undrafted, you know, free agent running back who the Ravens gave a lot of play to in the final part of week three of the preseason game before J.K. Dobbins went down. He finishes the preseason with 24 carries, 130 yards and a touchdown. Justice Hill is on that squad. I think he's the number three. I do believe Williams is the number two. I think in deep, deep leagues, if you've already drafted, you can go maybe pick him up for free right now and get him on the roster. I think that they probably bring somebody in, but let's just talk about Gus Edwards here altogether as a whole, because he is one of the biggest risers, of course. He's a north-south runner. He's not really going to be involved through the air. He is going to get some work in the red zone. He had 26 red zone carries last year, which is just a couple behind J.K. Dobbins. He had over 700 rushing yards on 144 attempts. He had 5 yards per carry, which was the fifth best mark in the NFL, 6 touchdowns, only 9 catches on 13 targets. Like, he hardly ran routes. It was J.K. Dobbins running routes, and I don't expect Gus Edwards to catch more than 20 balls in this offense. Lamar Jackson's not that type of running back to just sit and, you know, check down. He calls his own number, and that was part of, I think, why people were hesitant to draft J.K. Dobbins where he was getting drafted, roughly RB16, RB17. This is pretty much where I have Gus Edwards, and I think if you were in on J.K. Dobbins and you liked the price, I think you can feel good about the price and feel confident about the price when it comes to Gus Edwards. No, he's not going to catch 20-plus balls, but he doesn't have to deal with J.K. Dobbins now. And this is a running back, as I mentioned earlier in the show. You know, there's 6 running backs over the last 3 seasons with 700 plus rushing yards. Just 6. I'm sure you can guess them. Chubb, Henry, Aaron Jones, Zeke, Kamara, Gus Edwards. Right? I mean, who's like the one out of that group who's like, wait a minute, you don't belong here. Maybe he does belong here. I'll tell you what, Ravens do a couple things well. One of them is running the football. Over 50% of their plays over the last 2 seasons running the football. 2 teams in the last 9 years have run over 50% of the time. It's Baltimore twice, 2020 and 2019. They're very good at running the football. They brought in some weapons over the past couple of years. Sammy Watkins is another guy, my goodness, who's not healthy right now. They bring in Sammy. They draft Rashad Bateman. Marquise Brown was somebody they drafted a couple of years ago. He's been in and out of the lineup, dealing with a foot and other things, hamstring, over the past couple of years. So there's like, they need weapons through the air to compete when it comes down to facing the Bills and facing the Chiefs to take that next step into the playoffs. But this is a team that wants to run the football, and they do it very well. So I got Gus Edwards as RB19. I have him after Clyde Edwards-Helaire, James Robinson, Chris Carson, Dave Montgomery, Miles Sanders. And then after him, DeAndre Swift, Josh Jacobs, Damian Harris. And then you get into some of the pass-catching running backs, Mike Davis, Kareem Hunt, Javonte Williams, Chase Edmonds. Again, I think if you felt comfortable with J.K. Dobbins, if you weren't really worried about the lack of usage through the air or Gus Edwards, then I think you can feel confident about Gus Edwards as a top 20 running back. In a PPR setting, a full point, again, the rankings are updated over at ftmfantasy.com/rankings. He's outside the top 23 for me, but in a half point setting, even with a lack of catches, I think he's a darn near lock for 1,000 rushing yards, and he's going to get those red zone rushing opportunities and those touchdowns. He's not going to have to deal with J.K. Dobbins. Yes, some of them will go to Lamar Jackson, but at the same time, if there's a handoff, it's going to go to Gus Edwards. So there's a lot to like. You know, if you saw the board earlier with the 10 explosive rush that was just two fewer than Dobbins. And now the explosive rush slash runs, those are runs of at least 15 yards, equal to 15 or greater. That was top eight in all of football. Top eight. Again, elite company, and just two behind J.K. Dobbins. We've heard people on this show. I've said it before. Emory Hunt came on this show a couple weeks ago and was talking about, you know, just certain running backs in an offense where there's some RPOs or there's a rushing quarterback, how it opens up lanes for certain running backs. And that's exactly what we saw last year with Dobbins and with Gus Edwards. I was drafting live over the weekend when this news happened, and Gus Edwards went end of fourth. I think he does fall into mid or end of third. I wouldn't overreact in the fact that he probably won't be involved in the offense. I do think that the Ravens could bring somebody in, considering what they want to do is run the football. I think potentially they bring in a veteran back. I don't know if it's a Gurley. I don't know if it's a Duke Johnson. Maybe they bring back Mark Ingram. Maybe they just check in on David Johnson. I'm not 100% sure. Obviously, I'm just speculating here, but I think the back that they bring in, I don't think that they'll steal first and second down reps from Gus Edwards. I think maybe they bring in a veteran like a Gurley who could come in and take some third down work, or, you know, ease off Gus just a little bit. But this is, again, a guy who has had at least 700 rushing yards as a backup and as a backup a couple years ago when Mark Ingram was on the squad. So this is somebody who is capable of flirting with 1,000 yards, and that's where his prop has fallen, 1,000 rushing yards. And I would take the over on that. I think this is somebody who finishes up with maybe 1,100 or 1,200 rushing yards. And again, just to kind of hammer home the point of what the Ravens do, top seven in rushing attempts, their running backs last season, and also top seven in red zone rushing attempts as well. They're a good offense. They're a good offense, and I think that's why I'd lean with them over, you know, Gus Edwards over a DeAndre Swift. He's nicked up right now. They brought in Jamal Williams. It's just a brutal offense. The Ravens should be able to move the ball a little bit better, and they're going to score some points. Josh Jacobs, I'd sit on the fence with Jacobs and Damian Harris. I think I just lean Edwards again because of the offense over Las Vegas, and then they brought in Kenyon Drake. And then Damian Harris, I like quite a bit as well, and I think you can link them up, like Harris and Gus Edwards. I think they're both very similar. Maybe Harris has to deal with a couple more pieces inside that backfield. Ramondre Stevenson knocking on the door, who I think deserves a few touches. J.J. Taylor, I don't know if he's going to make the squad, but he was decent over the weekend as well, where Gus Edwards is not dealing with other guys as of now. So that's why I lean him over Damian Harris. But Harris isn't a guy that I expect to catch a lot of balls either. James White is going to lock down that role. Other takeaways here from just the weekend. So Gus Edwards is the week three riser and faller, you know, due to the injury to J.K. Dobbins. Tyrell Williams, Zach Pascal, Nico Collins, and Damian Williams. These are risers for me. Rashad Perriman was cut here this morning. I know a lot of people will look to Amon-Ra St. Brown as that next guy, as the stock riser here in this offense. And sure, in deep leagues, I don't mind taking a shot on him and potentially taking a flyer on him. But also, things weren't great. What I noticed in preseason, he wasn't playing any wide receiver three sets. He wasn't playing with the first team offense. He was getting taken out at times for Quintez Cephas, who I do think, honestly, will have a role here. The Lions drafted him last season. I think expecting maybe that they would probably lose Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay. They lost both of those guys. So there's an opportunity here. It's a very bad football team. But I think, you know, Tyrell Williams is a guy who we'll get into it in the next segment, is an underrated wide receiver that I think we could certainly target. And yeah, more on him in just a little bit. Zach Pascal, T.Y. Hilton has gone down here with, I believe, a significant neck injury. Now, Frank Reich, head coach of the Colts, had said that he is optimistic that T.Y. will play again this season towards the end. That's not a good sign. You know, he was already kind of boom or bust, has some good weeks, some bad weeks, and injuries have really piled up for T.Y. over the past couple of years. Zach Pascal, not Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell was kind of like Amon-Ra St. Brown, as somebody who was just kind of playing with the second team offense. Now, I think there's more upside for St. Brown. I think he could carve out a bigger role here moving forward. But Paris Campbell, maybe a slight uptick, but he was playing with the second and third team offense. He was only playing wide receiver three sets. He really wasn't getting on the field. It was Zach Pascal and Michael Pittman. I'm into Pittman. I think he's a good target, wide receiver 40. I think in deeper formats, maybe Pascal is somebody that you can consider as well as maybe the second option in this offense, or potentially the third if you're not counting running backs and Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, who was top five among running backs and catches last season, who will certainly have a role this year. Nico Collins, I just throw him out as a guy, like, listen, like, only Brandon Cooks had more snaps and playing time than Collins. in the Texans offense over the preseason, like during the preseason. They're just there aren't a lot of bodies there. And like, who, and if they do trade Brandon Cooks, like, my, who's catching footballs there? It's an awful team. It's going to be poor quarterback play with Tyrod Taylor or Tyrod, whatever the heck his name is these days. It's going to be bad. It's going to be a bad offense. But at the same time, they're going to have to throw the football. They are. They can use all their backs that they want, like David Johnson and Rex Burkhead and Mark Ingram and Phillip Lindsay. Use all those backs. Don't draft any of them. They can use them all. But they're going to have to throw. And if Cooks is, again, I don't wish injuries on anybody, but he has dealt with numerous concussions. Like, he's one shot away from being sidelined maybe for the rest of his career. I hope it doesn't happen, but it's possible. And it's something that you just have to consider when you look at bad teams, that somebody has to catch the football. Case in point, Tyrell Williams and Nico Collins. And then Damian Williams is just a small PPR get towards the later parts of your drafts. Maybe he could be a handcuff for Montgomery. I'm not totally into handcuffing guys like Montgomery. I'd handcuff like a Saquon with a Booker, maybe a CMC with a Hubbard, or a Dalvin Cook with a Madison, just to protect that early investment. But Damian Williams is going to carve out here a third down role. He's going to be involved in the offense. Very familiar with Matt Nagy, of course. And also Tariq Cohen is not ready to go right now. So he's going to have a bit of a third down role. And then your fallers, T.Y., as I mentioned, Irv Smith. Now, Irv Smith could be a 3 to 4 week if it's just like a meniscus scope. If it's a complete tear, it could be season ending. We just don't know. We'll hear more. Jake was talking up some Ty Conklin. I get it from a DFS standpoint, but he's not for me. Evan Ingram, I don't think he can be trusted. A calf injury. I think Shepard is very interesting. We'll get into him in a little bit. Slayton, Saquon, bringing Kenny G. Just a lot going on. Not that I don't believe in the talent of Evan Ingram. I just don't believe in the Giants, the way they use him, and then the offense and Daniel Jones. They have questions. John Brown, not part of the first team offense at all. It's Brian Edwards. It's Henry Ruggs. And the offense is going to run through Waller, and then Drake is there. And then Giovanni Bernard, I think a downtick. Not that he didn't do anything bad. He didn't do anything that would make me thought like, okay, I don't want anything to do with this guy. It's just a crowded backfield in Tampa Bay. It's Ronald Jones. It's Leonard Fournette. He's going to play third down role. Like, great. Like, how much is this team going to be on third down? Like, let's be honest. It's going to happen, but they're really good. And they have three unbelievable wide receivers in Gronk and a great backup tight end and OJ Howard. There's just a lot of great pieces on this offense. So that's my big risers and my big fallers. We'll get into some undervalued targets as well as some baseball picks. Don't go anywhere. Mean Streets continues right here on Game Plus Network. Going to rapid fire through some under value wide receiver targets here for your drafts. We'll touch on running backs, tight ends, and quarterbacks throughout the week. So here we go up at the top. This is the biggest big name undervalued wide receiver, I believe, is Tyler Lockett, going as wide receiver 19, a top 10 wide receiver last season. More targets, more catches than DK Metcalf. You're paying a premium for DK. I like DK. I think he's great, but Lockett has a locked-in role in the slot, and he's been a red zone beast over the past couple years. Same red zone targets as DK. He's involved in this offense. Don't overlook Tyler Lockett. Devonta Smith going as wide receiver 36. I can't tell you a lot of wide receivers going in this range that could potentially lead their team in targets, and I think that Smith will. I think he's going to have more targets than Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's going to have a better rookie season than Ja'Marr Chase. I think Chase will have a better career, but I think for Smith in on an offense where they're lacking weapons and the defense is not great, I think Smith is locked into 100-plus targets. Corey Davis, I think, could be top 10 in volume and targets. Wide receiver 47, 13 routes run, 10 targets. Zach Wilson, just I love the way Wilson has talked about Corey Davis. He says, I love that he can get one-on-one separation and can win any battle. And I hope that he knows that I am going to be looking his way and that I'm confident in him winning those battles. 13 routes in preseason, 10 targets. Marvin Jones, we've talked a lot about him, but he could be the number one in this offense. A nice vet, wide receiver 52. Russell Gage, wide receiver 54, I think undervalued. Matt Ryan, top three in passing attempts in each of the last 3 years. Number one last season. Yes, Kyle Pitts is going to be part of the offense, but Julio Jones is gone. Terrace Marshall, wide receiver 61, a fantastic preseason. He has a role in the slot. There's no tight end really to think about inside this offense. I think Marshall makes for a deep, just breakout candidate. And Jacoby Myers, wide receiver 62, could be the number one option in this offense. He's a target hog. He was last season. I would rather him than Nelson Agholor. Sterling Shepard, wide receiver 64. I believe he has a role in the slot. Also a target hog. I am not in on Evan Ingram. I think as long as Shepard can stay healthy, he could fall into 60-plus grabs inside this offense. And Darius Slayton, not 100%. Mention Ingram. Kenny Golladay dealing with something. Just a cheap flyer. Tyrell Williams, again, This is a number one on a bad team. 2019, 6 touchdowns as a member of the Raiders. Scored a touchdown in his first 5 games, then cooled off. You can go back to 2016, 1,000-yard season, 119 targets, 69 catches, 15.3 yards per catch, and 7 TDs. He was a wide receiver 3 that season. I think he could be a decent flex option. And then I already got into Nico Collins. I got a target for you as well at the running back position. We're going to talk about him next on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Those undervalued targets, I would try to leave with one of them. And also, I just feel like with Terrace Marshall, Elijah Moore, Rondell Moore, I want one of those three. I think I would rank them Elijah, Rondell, and Terrace, but only because I think Elijah and Rondell could fall into more targets right away. But I think long-term, I really do like Marshall. Some overvalued wide receivers we'll get into later on in the week. But this is a guy that I think I really just wanted to give some love to. We talked about Calvin Ridley on Friday as one of my targets. Here's a running back position target for you, and it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire going as RB15, ADP 21 over the last 2 weeks over an NFFC draft. No, 181 attempts last season for this guy, just 800 rushing yards. He had 54 targets, 36 catches, just shy of 300 receiving yards. He was RB22 last year, but he was RB11 through 7 weeks before the Chiefs went out and acquired Le'Veon Bell. And I think that's the big takeaway here is, yeah, Jerick McKinnon is catching balls out of the backfield, and Andy Reid loves him, a running back who can catch balls out of the backfield, of course. But also, I do believe that the first and second down reps are going to go to CEH, and I think that the goal line opportunities are going to go to him as well. And last year, he struggled in that role, but the offensive line is revamped. They made some adjustments over the offseason. And also, let's keep in mind that last year was just really weird, especially for rookies. He just didn't have the training camp, the preseason. Now it's a full year here, learning the playbook again and the offense. And you have a running back linked to arguably the best offense in football. And they are going to run the football. It's not like the Bills where they're not going to use Zach Moss on the ground or Devin Singletary and they're just throwing all the time. The Chiefs are going to run the football here and there. And also with Andy Reid, the same things that you were excited about last year with a running back in this offense, I think you can carry over and be excited about as well. What he did with Brian Westbrook, what he did with LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles, Kareem Hunt, Damian Williams at times. Like, it's a really good offense, and he doesn't need 20-plus touches to be productive. So I think if you're starting your draft, you know, at the top with, a Cook or a CMC or a Henry, I think he makes for a great RB2 towards the end of the second round. Or if you start your draft with a wide receiver, I think he makes for a decent RB1 as well. And then you can get maybe a James Robinson in the third or a Gus Edwards or a Damian Harris in the fourth and attack it that way. I do believe he has top 5 upside, and I think we saw it at times last season.